When we feel in a jovial mood, we love to join a crowd of people to sing with great gusto the rousing old song. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I know you desperately want to sing it right now, but unfortunately we are discouraged from singing this song and any other song for that matter at the present time because of the COVID-19 restrictions. Hopefully this will change soon and then we can heartily sing as we love to do. Today, the 1st of November, is All Saints' Day in the Christian calendar. This day, which is also known as All Hallows' Day, Hallow Mass, Feast of All Saints, or Solemnity of All Saints, is a Christian festival celebrated in honor of the saints, known and unknown. The celebration of All Saints' Day stems from a belief that there is a strong spiritual bond between Christians who are already in heaven and Christians like us who are still living here on earth. Since the 8th century, Christians have paused on this day each year to pay tribute to the fine men and women across the centuries who in their lifetime had a deep love for Christ and tried to walk in his way and serve him faithfully. Many years ago, an unknown author wrote a short paragraph under the title, Why Were the Saints Saints? It reads like this. Why were the saints saints? Because they were cheerful when it was difficult to be cheerful, patient when it was difficult to be patient, and because they pushed on when they wanted to keep still and kept silent when they wanted to talk, and were agreeable when they wanted to be disagreeable. That was all. It was quite simple and always will be. I wonder how we compare to some of the matters raised in that statement. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? When we think of saints, we usually think of great Christians who had a profound influence on the world. For example, St. Francis of Assisi, who gave up a life of wealth and possessions to live a life of poverty, to care for nature and focus on peace and love. Or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor, who was put to death because of his faith and his convictions. Or Mother Teresa, who humbly ministered to lepers, the homeless, and the poorest of the poor in the slums of Calcutta. Or Billy Graham, the famous evangelist who led thousands of people to Christ through his preaching at evangelistic crusades, including some here in Australia. All these people were most certainly saints. But on this All Saints' Day, we are reminded that all Christians in every generation, including the present generation, are saints. If you are a Christian today, if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a Christian, and that means You are a saint. On Sunday, the 15th of November, in 2 weeks' time, we will be observing the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. That will provide us with an opportunity to remember Christians in places like North Korea, the Middle East, China, Africa, Asia, and other parts of the world who are suffering for their faith. Those are fine saints with whom we share fellowship on this day. The church we are part of here at St. Andrew's began at Caesarea Philippi on that famous occasion when Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was the day when Jesus established a communion of people known as the church. Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The church began to grow in the first century, and throughout the centuries it continued to grow right up until the present day. Christianity is by far the world's largest religion, with 2.3 billion adherents. Isn't that incredible? We share fellowship with all of them on this All Saints' Day. We couldn't estimate how many Christians have lived in this world throughout the centuries and through death have now gone to their eternal rest. What a number that would be. We Christians join together at our services to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. The Catholic Church that we are referring to is not the denomination known as the Roman Catholic Church. It is the complete universal church, the church worldwide, the church that consists of all the saints. One of the most beautiful descriptions of the communion of saints is found in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17, which was one of the lectionary readings set for this All Saints' Day. John paints a magnificent picture of a vast crowd of people from every nation on earth who are now in the bliss of heaven. Revelation 7 and verse 9, John from the Isle of Patmos writes, After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. These people that John is describing are free from pain, anxiety, and sorrow. The great multitude of the redeemed was so large that no one was able to count it. They came from all nations and tribes and people and languages. John piles one expression on another to indicate the crowd's universality. The redeemed are dressed in white robes. The Greek noun that's used here, stolas, signifies long robes and is much more appropriate to glorious garments than to working clothes. The white robes probably point us to justification by faith in Christ. The people who are saved stand before God, perfect in the righteousness which Christ supplies. White is also the color of victory. And palms are often emblems of triumph. This stress on triumph leads some commentators to think that the white-clad throng are the martyrs. But the triumph John refers to is not through their death, but rather it refers to the death of Christ. This victory comes through Christ's saving work. It is Christ who provides the robe of righteousness. When you wear this robe, when you have put this robe of righteousness on, then you are described as a saint. At this point, there is dialogue between John and one of the elders. We have a Q&A session in verses 13 and 14. Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The elder informs John that these triumphant ones have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Both verbs in the Greek are aorists, in each case indicating a once-for-all action. The phrase, "made them white in the blood," in verse 14b, is a striking paradox. Listen to how Leon Morris, one of the commentators, describes it. He writes, "The complete efficacy of Christ's atoning death is being strongly asserted. It is on the grounds of his death for men and women that they are able to stand before the throne properly clothed. This is a further indication that the throng comprises all the saved and not simply the martyrs or some other group. These people who have put their trust in the atoning death of Christ, they are saints." It's difficult to think of ourselves as saints. If I pause for a moment, I promise I'm not going to do this, but if I stopped and asked you to raise your hand if you are a saint, I suspect very few hands would be raised. It might well be the case that no one would be willing to raise your hand. If you did, you might feel just a little embarrassed. But what I want to say to you is this. If you are a Christian, if you have been justified through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been redeemed through the precious shed blood of Christ on the cross, if that is your faith and that is your hope, then with great confidence you can raise your hand and say that you are a saint. It's not arrogance on your part. The reason is because you are wearing the robe of righteousness. It is not your righteousness, of which you have none, But if you're trusting in the finished work of Christ, you're wearing the robe of righteousness, and so with all the people of God throughout the world and throughout every generation, you can raise your hand and say that you are a saint. I wonder, have you ever pondered on the third line of that old song that I began with when I quoted the verse? The line says, I want to be in that number. Number. So there is actually a number. It doesn't say everybody. When the roll is called up yonder, a number of saints will go marching in. A number? Does that mean a restriction? Does that mean a limit to the number of saints there can be? Well, actually, it does. It's only those who are wearing the robe of righteousness, those who have been washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, those who are described as saints, yes, that's right. Only they will be in that number. I'm assuming that you want to be in that number. How ironic it would be if on this All Saints Day, you are not counted in that number. That somehow this great number of saints who will go marching in, that actually you might not be among them. Why? What have you done to exclude yourself? Well, the reason is, based on what John says in this marvelous passage, your sins have not been cleansed in the precious blood of Christ. You have never yet put on the robe of righteousness. But that could all change today. Yes, on this All Saints Day, if you bow your head in the pew where you're sitting and you put your faith and trust in Christ's atoning death, even where you sit, you can know the joy of sins forgiven and the blessed hope of eternal life. Tell me, when the saints go marching in, will you be in that number?